This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. It is our big event in Hamilton this weekend, Wednesday night.
Clickety-click, Mariana.
Are you playing Halsey?
I am. Clickety-click, 66.
66 pairs have entered the tournament. That is sensational.
That's the 5A online Swiss pairs. Well, there's some people, at least, don't like online bridge. It's pretty popular, isn't it?
Judge Julie's going to be our director, and she's currently in Nelson. And all the blurb that you need for the tournament, she'll be sending them out tomorrow morning. And guess what?
What?
Today was the Hamilton Bridge Club's committee meeting. It started at 4. We were done and dusted by 5:30. I was impressed.
That's good. Did you talk about anything? Or are you not allowed to divulge?
No, because then I'll have to kill you.
That's right. What about your other hat, Mariana? How are you getting on with your youth job? What's the actual title?
Youth coordinator. That's right.
Youth coordinator for New Zealand Bridge.
So our biggest shout out for the moment is that we have our youth weekend. The camp is being held at Christchurch Bridge Club. It's in September, Friday the 4th to Sunday the 6th of September. We've sent out emails to as many youth as we can. If you're listening and you haven't received one and your club hasn't tapped you on the shoulder, send us an email, and that is youth@newzealandbridge.co.nz, and we'll fit you in.
Are you going to be down there, you know, cleaning the toilets and making sure the temperature's right and all that, doing the vacuuming and all that sort of stuff, cooking the scones?
I won't be doing any of that, but yes, I will be down there. I actually have a friend that lives down in Christchurch, and she plays bridge over in Sydney in Australia, and she's coming home for a couple of months. So I'm going to hang out with her while I'm down there.
Does that mean you're going to have a game at the Christchurch Bridge Club while you're down there?
Yeah, I'm actually going to stay for the week, Barry. So I'll be doing the youth club, and then Kelly and I are going to go and play a couple of games somewhere. And so I am going to stay with her and saving NZB some money on accommodation. What Barry's probably telling you about is that we've got an updated youth strategy, which goes from 2026 all the way up to 2029. That's about to be loaded up onto the website, so you can have a squizzy at that on the NZB website. And also, we have rolled out to the regions who met with NZB board on the weekend. We had that regional conference and rolled it out to the regions, the Bridge and Schools initiative that come up with. That's going to be really interesting.
It's how many schools do you think you're going to hit?
Well, to be fair, we're only starting with a pilot scheme. So we have 5 schools in Hamilton that have expressed some interest. So we're going to go and see if we can go and add bridge as one of the electives or selectives that these kids can choose from.
Why did they express an interest? Have you sent something out to the schools, and then how does that happen?
I probably shouldn't say interest. We have 5 connections with various schools that are warm and hot leads going into the schools. So we can't approach the schools just yet, because the initiative, although it's been signed off, has only just been rolled out to the districts. And the fine print is almost ready for presentations. So I felt that we couldn't actually contact people until we've finalised all the information that we're needing. So we're not reinventing the wheel. We're still using the same material that we currently use for lessons, just that depending on how long we have to deliver the program might mean that a 10-12 week program may have to be split over 24 weeks or 20 weeks and just do half and half. So we can do it either during school hours, lunchtime, after school, or even bring it back to the club. The Bridge and Schools initiative is alive and well. E hariaki nei. Coming up next, Mr. Jin chats with a member from a small club in the Waikato. Please bear with us if the sound quality is not quite the same as normal.
Hi, Arthur. It's really nice to talk to you. Listeners, I'm talking to Arthur Mann, who has just coordinated a lovely tournament at the Waihee Intermediate.
Good morning, Ross. Nice to hear from you.
Yesterday was in the community hall, which was needed, of course, for 15 tables there. I popped around and had a look at your club, and you've got a very nice clubhouse. So what are really the pros and cons of owning your own clubhouse as a small club?
Well, the first thing is the financial obligations, because you're responsible for all the ongoing maintenance, insurance, etc. And it makes a big difference to the running of the club with regards to raising funds. It's quite onerous owning your own club rooms. It has some advantages. I think nowadays a lot of the smaller clubs, certainly like Waihee, it would be a lot easier if they were renting premises, like what they do at Katikati. Katikati is much the same size of club as Waihee, but they rent council rooms, and it makes it a lot easier on them financially.
It's lovely to have that little home base, isn't it? I mean, it gives
the whole
gives
base
members.
Is great.
And how many members do you have?
Full membership, we have about 35, but we have quite a number, 10 to 12 associate members, generally all from Katikati. Katikati is about 20 minutes drive away, and both these clubs are small clubs, and Katikati players come to Waihee, and Waihee players go to Katikati. It's a bit of a Siamese twin arrangement, you know. If the clubs didn't share support, then they would really struggle table numbers-wise, you know.
So how do you go about sustaining and growing the membership and the activity at the club?
Membership is quite difficult. You know, we found that letterbox drops are not that productive. We found the best way, certainly in business, it applies to Katikati as well, is by word of mouth or personal contact. We get better results that way. Over the last couple of years, we've generally had roughly 2 to 4 new members coming along and getting lessons. The retention is not great because a lot of them like to learn bridge, but they think it's too serious. You know, we try to promote, you know, we've got social bridge, club bridge, and then if you want to get serious, then you can go to tournaments. Our club's very much a social club, and we've got one or two very keen members. We have a, shall we say, a club evening on Monday night, bridge on Thursday, but that's very much social. And then there's also a couple of the members run rubber bridge on a Saturday. Now, that's really social. You know, they have a radio on and they have food. But we get a lot of people come along to that, and every now and again it attracts one or two members, so it's beneficial in that respect. And another of the members, every now and again, will run a social teams event on the weekends. It's generally a social team event or Swiss pairs events. And that's also very good for keeping the numbers ticking over, and it also brings in a wee bit of revenue as well. Every now and again, we pick up a new member that way.
Mm-hmm. Those are positive initiatives. The rubber bridge and the social bridge, I haven't heard many clubs mentioning that. That's conducted in your clubhouse.
Oh, in the clubhouse round in Union Street, yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's very social, and, you know, everyone's having a great time.
Good.
And that's what it's all about. That's the way to encourage people. I think some of them, certain lessons, they think when they go to the club, it's going to be very serious. Everyone's got their head down, you know, no one's saying anything. And they say, no, it's not like that. Come along to the social. The rubber bridge and the team's events, Swiss pairs at the weekends, are very social. We try to encourage that side to get more players to come along.
I noticed when I was looking up the address of the club that you don't have your own website. Is that a deliberate thing, or could you do with help?
We had one, you know, several years ago, and probably the best way to describe it, there was a lack of enthusiasm to continue running it.
And that's the problem with small clubs like
that's
yours.
The problem
and
with small clubs. I think it's the problem with all clubs just now, is getting people to take on board committee obligations.
Mm-hmm.
Every year when it comes to the AGM, going around coercing people to do this and do that and do the next thing. They're all happy to come along and play, but it's difficult to get someone to take on board, you know, a committee position. That doesn't apply to bridge, that's right across the board, all clubs.
That's a common problem throughout the country. The smaller the cities and towns get, the harder it is. You also mentioned that there's a lack of enthusiasm for real bridge, online bridge, from your members.
Our members prefer to have, you know, shall we say, face-to-face contact than sitting on computers, and probably quite a few of them are not really computer literate. So we've tried it, and very few of them do it.
Fair enough, because my club, Walkworth, have a Friday night real bridge. It's very chatty. The standard is great. It's not fearful in terms of very top open players playing on it. Maybe that's a little entree that some of your members could have, and they would become friends with the people from Warkworth. There's people all over the country playing that.
We can certainly raise that. We can raise it with the club members to see what sort of feedback we get from them. When COVID was here, a lot of people were playing online, but they felt that the online was very artificial. It kept you playing bridge, but the physical contact in the net, shall we say, the repartee is not there, and that's what chases people away from computer stuff.
The real bridge sessions are quite a bit smaller now, and they are quite a lot more chatty. Just getting back to the tournament, so the tournament is an important part of your calendar, and also you see it as a fundraising exercise, as well as you're offering your club members something really positive in terms of playing with people from out of town, or not just from Catty Catty, but from the wider community. And I must say that we enjoyed the tournament very, very much. What would you like to think that the players, like myself and others, took away from that tournament?
Well, we like to think the venue was good. It was a warm venue and the catering was good. And it was a friendly venue with a good director. And you left happy with your day's bridge. You might not have won, but you were still happy coming to YE tournament and playing bridge. It's a friendly club, well run.
I can heartily tick all those boxes, and we shall definitely be back next year. Thank you, Arthur, for the tournament, and thank you very, very much for your time to chat with us on the Bridge Zone.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we're at the courthouse.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Good morning, Patrick. How's the rain in Auckland?
I actually haven't been outside. Just looks overcast at the moment.
It's coming.
Okay.
So Mariana had a problem last week. Well, Mariana's always got a problem.
I thought Jenny had the most problems. She's got various of
government. This is week's problem was East wrote on the pad, won, and then somebody realised it was actually South's turn to bid. Mariana was called as the director, and because it wasn't complete, took the bid back to South, who opened, first of all, complained because West had unauthorised information that East was about to open one. True enough, I guess. Anyway, so South now opened the bidding two hearts, and it went pass to the East, who now bid two spades back to their partner, who had 10 points and three card spade support, so they raised to three spades, and then it went four spades. South was not altogether happy with all of this, feeling that maybe there was some unauthorised information. What do you think, Patrick? What should Mariana have done?
Well, the only thing I can say that Mariana might have done not quite perfectly is that when she said that the bid was not complete and therefore not made, and they'd start the auction from South, she should have said there could be a problem with unauthorised information, which look at if it needs to be. I mean, South probably felt more aggrieved because they brought it up themselves. It should have been part of the initial ruling is that, yes, it's not a completed call, so we'll start from here. There could be a problem with unauthorised information, so it shouldn't be that South brought it up. That might have spiked their guns just a little bit. And they said it could be on this auction because you say that when it went two hearts, pass, two spades, pass. The partner of the person who'd made the incomplete bid raised to three on a 10 count with three card spade support. Well, it depends because there's 10 points and 10 points. If, for instance, that 10 points is three small spades, queen, third of heart, ace, queen, third, and queen, fourth, I would have said that they had a logical alternative at pass because balancing in over two hearts with two spades, particularly if, for instance, they're not vulnerable, might not be that good a hand. So maybe passing is a reasonable option. On the other hand, if they've got three spades and a singleton heart, queen 10x of spades and a singleton heart and the other points in the minors, then yes, then I think almost everybody would raise to three spades now. And so I would allow it.
Patrick, I've got the hand in front of me and the vulnerability, which actually is sort of quite helpful. West were vulnerable and North-South weren't.
I'm looking at the West hand, which is King 8-3, 10-4, Ace 8-6-3, Queen Jack 9-2. That's not bad because there's no wasted points in Hearts. They have at least some rubbing values. And Pana's now probably a slightly better balance because they're vulnerable. So probably I would have allowed, certainly if they made four spades, I'd have said, right, carry on playing. I'll go away and review it. I'd have had to think about it for a while because I could see somebody passing here, but I think it is one where almost everybody would raise. So I probably would have allowed the final contract. Tell me that they went down in four spades.
Yes.
So you didn't wind up with a problem.
I didn't, no. I did say to them, I didn't say the unauthorized information bit, but I said, call me back if you feel that you were disadvantaged. And I went back to the table
That's part of the way there, but saying there could be a problem with unauthorized information,
yes.
That sort of spikes South Guns, isn't it? They can't complain about something you've already mentioned, can they?
And then, of course, they weren't disadvantaged because they managed to get a top board out of it.
East had only four spades, so East made a very weird bid to balance with two spades instead of making an obvious takeout doubles. Maybe it was just one of those things that everyone talking at the table and then people start playing not very well because they're distracted by the issue at hand rather than just simply playing bridge. And that's what East-West are supposed to do, is just play bridge.
Yeah.
And if West has information that's helped by that unauthorized information, they just choose not to make a bid that might be helped by it. They can still make obvious bids that almost everyone would make. If they've got to say, oh, I could bid this or I could bid that, they've got to go against the information that they've got.
Yeah,
the classic example is, yeah, let's say you open one no trump and you play 12 to 14, partner announces 15 to 17. Then when partner invites, if you've got 12 points, you can decline that invitation. But if you've got 14 points, you must accept that invitation, even though partner thinks they've got a better hand. But if you've got 13 points where you might have gone either way, you've got to do the honourable thing and bid game anyway. So if you've got a choice, you go against what's suggested by that information. If you've got a clear-cut bid, oh, everybody would pass on my hand or everybody would do this on my hand, then you can still do it. If the opponent's unhappy, the director can review it and decide whether they agree with you or not, because the director isn't saying, I think you're cheating or anything but by making that bid. They're just saying, I'm disagreeing with you. I don't think it's as clear-cut as you thought.
Right.
So on the hand we're talking about, I mean, wouldn't it be the situation where I'm sure a lot of people would consider passing with the West hand? Most of them would probably.
Yeah, well, but the law is worded very weirdly in that it says there is a logical alternative if a substantial portion of the field would consider doing something else, and of those, some would actually choose it. It's tricky, right? Because, sure, lots of people would consider passing.
Yeah.
Of those, would some choose it? And it's not supposed to be just an isolated instance of one or two might choose to pass. It says some of the people who considered passing would choose it. So on the actual hand you gave me, I think plenty of people would consider passing, but how many would choose it? I don't think very many at all. So I don't think it meets that test. My brain works perhaps differently to the people who wrote the laws.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine
that these people would consider it, would some of those choose it, is sort of like rather vague to me.
And with that confession from the bailiff, that his brain is different. You're probably thinking that you already knew that. The bailiff presents the rest of his closing statement at the courthouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Folks, I've shown Barry my presentation for Bridge and Schools Initiative, and you know, has you cotton on to something, and he's picked up that my friend AI has put cards around the wrong way. That was his tip to me. Can you make it correct? And I was like, yes, I can. Do you
imagine
have a tip
if you
for
played
me?
At the Bridge Club with all your cards facing the wrong way? It would certainly change the game,
wouldn't it?
And you got to see what everybody else had, but you didn't know what you had. That would make life really tricky.
What's your tip for the listeners this week, Ben?
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when
well,
to
of run. talking to a group and they weren't youth players last week. I was talking to them about reverse attitude. Reverse attitude, it seems such a simple thing in a lot of ways, but a lot of people seem to get tangled up with that. You know, the way we teach it and the way you teach it is if partner plays a high card, like an 8 or a 9, high I hate. And if they play a 2 or a 3, low I like. High I hate, low I like. And I thought that was pretty straightforward. Then I also was talking to them about leads and what you would lead from ace, king, queen and king, queen, jack. And then I had king, queen, 10 and queen, jack, 9. Now, I thought those were fairly straightforward. Half of them wanted to lead the 9.
Why would they?
I reckon the only reason they'd want to lead the 9 is some blood relative was playing against them and they wanted to let them score their 10. Because that's what'll happen if you lead the 9. They'll run around, they'll win it with a 10. Whereas the queen, at least they have to play the king or the ace if they want to beat that. And I think what you said was probably a good thing, and perhaps I should have said that, was that a lot of them want to play a low card promising an honour. Well, I'm not too sure that the 9 would necessarily cut the mustard there. That might look like it's just a pile of rubbish you're leading from. So low's saying you've got an honour, but leading the queen tells them you've got 2 honours.
Yeah.
I think that was a good way of putting it, actually.
So, yes, it says I've got the queen and I've also got the card under it. So I don't know why people would play, when you're holding 2 honours, play a low one promising just 1.
Called a broken sequence. So yeah, I think everybody knows about Queen Jack 10 and King Queen Jack, obviously. But Queen Jack 9 and King Queen 10, if you haven't got a sequence to lead, that's pretty close. You're only missing 1 card. And if that card's on your right, you've got it surrounded, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if partner's got the Jack or the 10 or whatever it is, then that's fine as well. Leading from a broken sequence, that's my tip, I guess, is nearly as good as leading from a full-blooded sequence. And the other thing is, don't forget that low's encouraging. And if you're going to play it, play it. When you make your first discard, just remember that whatever you play is going to mean something.
That's right. I wonder.
You don't just toss a card on the table and say, there you go, because partner's going to look at that and think, woohoo, partner wants me to lead a spade when they get in. If you haven't got the goods, you'll be in trouble.
Do they understand what attitude is? Because they may not understand what attitude is to reverse attitude.
That's a good point. We all talk about reverse attitude, but we don't talk about what standard attitude is, which is what people used to play. If they liked your lead or if they wanted you to lead something, they threw out a high card to say that was encouraging and a low one to say it was discouraging. That's what they used to do back in the day. But I think people sort of realized that throwing high cards out in a suit that you liked could get a bit expensive. I mean, we don't mind throwing the 8 out when we've got, you know, 8, 7, 5, but we don't want to throw the 9 out when we've got king, queen, 10, 9.
Yeah.
Not so good. The 9 might come in handy.
Whoa, here he comes again. Fast thing. Who's that with? Ethel. Is that you, Ethel? Where do you think you're going? On his anatomy. You can't give us a
tease. Whaiakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novice. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Good morning, Ross. How are you going?
Very well, thanks, Mariana. Hi, Barry. Yeah, I'm going well. I've got a lot of results from last week, so I better crack straight into those. First of all, the Waitemata Restricted over the weekend. It was won by Sam McNee and Chris Wilson once again.
Again,
which is wonderful. I've got a little story about them, which I'll share with you next week. Top intermediate pair were Karina and Mark Sim-Smith, whom we've also talked about from Howie. In New Plymouth, there was a restricted tournament. The top intermediate pair there were Janice Gray and Mara Robinson from Hawera. They were 7th overall. Top junior was Nick Fenner and Craig Barrett, whom we've mentioned before from New Plymouth. Ah, now, Upper Hutt Multigrade, great result. Won by Stephanie Grummett from Hutt and Alicia Hawkins from Hutt. And they are both Gin Club members, both intermediate, top overall. Woo!
Nice.
Rotorua Open, top intermediate pair there was Michelle Little and Desley Howell from Cambridge and Morrinsville. The Thursday Auckland pairs, top intermediate pair there were Deirdre Oliver from East Coast Bays and her partner. And Waihee Intermediate, Pat Johansson from Tiaroa and Nita Knight from Thames won that. Sue Clark and Sapati from Wakatane were top junior. Levin had an intermediate and a junior. Intermediate, Andrea and Jakob Pitalis from Hutt, and the junior, Rosie Rawson and Kathy Toffa from Whanganui. The results for you.
How were you received at Waihee, Ross? Do you have a few words to say?
I try and do that at all the tournaments unless they sort of know me, and I try and give the Bridge Zone a bit of a plug and a bit of a razz up, and it always gets a few new listeners.
So you didn't get thrown out from Waihee. They all listened.
Interesting, I played at Levin online last night, just a little club session, and we had four top-ranking players there. We had Marcus Dudley, who's the top national master. We had Jack James, who's the top silver grandmaster. We had Wilma from Cambridge, who's top certificate of proficiency, and myself, who's top local master. So that was quite a nice little meeting of folk.
How many tables were they playing there, Ross? I'm testing them now.
Nine and a half.
Oh, that's quite a good turnout. Okay.
East Coast Bays on Sunday night was 13 full tables. Walkworth on Friday night, which is also a good session for Gin Club members, there was like nine tables. So some nice little online opportunities for the Gin Club members to play bridge with really social and nice people.
Hamilton's pretty pleased with their online turnout for Wednesday night, and they've got 33 tables so far.
That's awesome, mate.
People want to play online. There's no two ways about it. Two things they like, Swiss and online. Yep, absolutely. Correct.
I met Annie Sue last night for the first time online.
Oh, cool.
I said, oh, Annie, it's really nice to put a face to your name. I'm always talking about you on the Bridge Zone. She says, oh, my God, are you Mr. Jin? That's so cute.
Yeah, that's super. It's great to see people learn bridge and get passionate about it so quickly. So good one, Annie Sue. Keep it up.
And last night, playing online, I won the last trip with the Seven of Diamonds. So Steve Moore owes me a glass of beer.
Yes. Brilliant.
At least it's not gin. See you next week.
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week.
Light it.
That's all we've got time for this week, folks. Take care, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.